Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 316. 316 episodes in the can, including this one. Hopefully you find this one just as enjoyable as the rest of them, if not more so. This is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled along with all of our other episodic and articular friends over at www.caffeination.com. Being that that's caffeination.com, we figured it was a pretty good place to keep the episodes and all of its little friendly content. So, this is the shorty edition here. Not saying that it's going to be short, I'm saying that it was planned on being short. There's not a ton of content like I usually try and cram into a show. Why? Because this was the first serviceable weekend in quite some time for running around and going outside and doing all sorts of fun, cool things. So we here at the Caffeination Lair kind of took the weekend off from a digital sense. Friday night, I went out and saw The Watchmen. As I liked the book, I really did like the movie. Incredibly violent, though. Just to let you know. So in case you're going to be one of those people who bring your three-year-old into the theater, it wasn't me. There were other people there who had, like, you know, 3 and 4 year olds there, and they were crying during the movie, and they couldn't understand why. It's really not a kid's movie, so just wanted to kind of put that out there. We spent Saturday going to the zoo. We had a great time there. And then we, today on Sunday, we actually went to Philadelphia Museum of Art. We didn't do the Rocky thing, but we, you know, the run up the stairs, because it's more of a tourist thing. You know, being from Philadelphia, it's not really something you do, at least often. But we did have Paul actually do the pose, so I don't know if I have to check the camera to make sure it came out properly. But yeah, we did bring our own tiny little wall of sound into the starched collared area of the city, so it was kind of fun to see people rolling their eyes as he's being quite loud in quite quiet environments. But we tried to keep it under wraps as best we could. But that's about enough out of me. This is going to be a relatively short episode, just because I think everybody pretty much took the weekend off of posting. I think it was a relatively good time across the country, relatively good temperatures through the most of the area. So a lot of the websites I read are U.S.-based, so it seemed to kind of show, because the posting seemed a little bit less frequent. Even Twitter was nice and quiet. I mean, I know I wasn't there very often, but hopefully it's twitter.com/caffeination in case you were curious. But, you know, it was just really nice to kind of unplug and unwind. And so we have a great week lined up for you, and we're announcing a couple things. First off, we're going to be doing the Adopt a Noob Day, or Newbie Day, for 2009, which is April 15th. Going to get into that a little bit more. On today's show, you're going to hear about any of all of the following topics: Legos, design, color theory, Adopt a Noob Day, which we just mentioned, jobs, robots, Photoshop, Mario, nesting dolls, energy drinks, and sugar. So it's a fun little thing there. So it's going to be an interesting episode, to say the least. There's not a ton of content, like I said, not a ton of links. So before, you know, I babble on much further, we're going to head on into the good stuff here. I'm trying to focus on quality as opposed to quantity today. I usually try and do a little bit of both, but today we're much more focused on the actual quality of the links, so we think we got some good stuff for you. Before we get on too much further into the episode, I did actually want to mention just a little bit about our sponsor. During these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut costs wherever they can. And online meetings are a great place to start. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet with anyone located anywhere right in front of your computer. All you can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting's all-you-can-meet service. You can hold as many online meetings as you want without paying any of those pesky permanent charges. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for our free trial today. So I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of fun and cool stuff, and it's a really good product. I highly suggest you head on over there and check that out if it seems to be something that you're interested in. So, all right, like I said, there's an interesting little theme running through today's show, and it's just we're looking for high levels of awesomeness. I have continued to try and put a little bit of tips and stuff out there. We've started working on some of the audio techniques and things that I use doing the shows. I'm going to work on an editing techniques article in the next couple weeks, so you're probably going to end up seeing that come out. We already did microphone techniques, and I'm going to work on some equipment stuff and stuff like that out there, because I get asked questions questions a lot on what I'm trying to create value for the site. So I get asked questions a lot by people who are starting out podcasts or even people who have been podcasting for a while, you know, like what I use, how I do it. And it's not saying that what I'm doing is perfect. It takes me way too long to do anything. It usually takes me way too long to actually get in gear to attempt to do what I'm trying to do. So I just try and put my methods out there. Hopefully somehow there's a little bit of cross-pollination and we can get to a much more efficient and smooth operation overall. So that's the idea behind it. But today kind of flipped it around a little bit, because I do a little bit of graphic design. I do work heavily in graphic design applications, so it's a little bit of a theme running through it. And to kind of start it off, and I didn't even know I was going to be talking about the other stories but when I did this, but I did, I'm starting a series of articles called the Blog Design Guides. This is all under the Tech and Tough Times thing, but it's basically ways of trying to pick tiny little things out to help people, you know, as they're designing their blogs or stuff like that. And this one's the absolute basics. It's an article that I wrote talking a little bit about color theory and a little bit about how colors work on your website. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a link up there. It talks to, you know, how you're going to actually choose your color, the main colors that you have for the site. And I've never actually talked about the colors that we use in the Caffeination podcast before, and there's a little blurb in there about that. I love the color blue, specifically the tone that's actually used in the Caffeination logo. And so I also paired it with brown, because blue and brown seem to go quite well together, and they're actually complementary colors. They're right across from each other on the color wheel, another thing that I talk about in the article. But also the color of brown that I chose reminded me heavily of the of a coffee with a milk in it, or a tea with a milk in it. So that's why I chose that particular shade. Blue is already a calming color. It wasn't really an electric blue or anything like that. And the calming shade of the tan kind of, I would think, actually offsets a couple of the other aspects on the site. I don't like having the ads necessarily up there. I don't like having all the buttons and everything. But, you know, you have to try and have a cohesive vision from when you're designing a website. And even if you have absolutely no control over your platform at all, the most basic level of control that they can give you is color choice. So this is just a little handy guide as you're going through. It talked about some common color misconceptions and things like that. And a lot of people have, now this is not talking about any podcast or any blog that I read or anything like that, but some people think that having a black background with white text is really a good idea. I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that it's not a good idea, because if you have a monitor that's going, one of the first things that goes is the ability for contrast. So it's probably an easier thing to have black text on white, and just for readability purposes, it's very good. The only thing that I would say flips this around is when I'm working in a terminal, like in a Unix terminal on a Mac or something like that, or I'm working in DOS on Windows, I have black backgrounds with bright green text. A little harken back to the old, the dump terminals that used to be around, or the dumb terminals that used to be around. But that's the only convention that I stick with. For websites, I like the light-colored background with the darker text, just because it's a little way of, I think it makes it a little bit more readable. I couldn't find any studies one way or another, but I just wanted to kind of put it out there, and hopefully little things that I talked about in there are useful to you. I talked about readability. There's a little bit of the colorblind thing. I have a link in there about trying to see if your site is safe for people who are colorblind. And there's many different types of colorblindedness. There's red-green colorblind. There's people who can't differentiate blue from other things. It's really crazy the length and the breadth of the issues that this hits. So there's an interesting link in the article talking about how you can actually put a filter on your site to see what your site looks like to somebody who is colorblind. So I highly suggest you check that out, specifically if you'd like people to read your content and be able to tell one thing from another. And I also put a little bit of a link in there to one of the books that I absolutely love called The Color Index by Jim Krause. It's an affiliate link, so it goes right to Amazon. But I love that thing. I use it all the time. And if you're looking for a resource for that, I highly suggest you give it a shot and just look at it. All right, and then I also have a link up there to the Adopt a Noob Day primer from last year. And the idea behind Adopt a Noob Day is that it's... it's a way for you to give back. Every April 15th, you have to, that's the deadline for tax day here in the U.S. So I kind of threw the idea out there. I was looking for something to do after the anniversary of the show, which happens in January. And I was looking for something to do. April really didn't seem to have any big holidays or anything like that other than tax day and my birthday. So I just wanted to kind of throw out an interesting little, I guess, a false holiday of a certain kind, but I kind of really feel that I was helped a lot by people when I was starting to learn different bits of technology, and I still am. I mean, even when I'm faced with something in programming or something like that where I'm not really confident about what I'm doing, even with Twitter and other things, it's really easy to just throw a call for help out there, and people will help you, usually free of charge, usually, very nicely. They'll help you as long as you approach them nicely. So I'm flipping it around and kind of saying, you know what? I know that there's a lot of people who listen to this show who are technically savvy, to say the least. And there's some people who are not. That's perfectly fine. But it's, for the technically savvy people out there, I think that we should kind of set aside a little bit of the time in the year where you should try and pay it back. You should try and find somebody who needs a little bit of extra patience when it comes to working through problems. I'm not saying you should limit it to this time, but I'm saying this should be a change in how you actually approach some of the things that are out there. It's one of the reasons that I started doing the Tech and Tough Times series. It's one of the reasons why I'm starting to put a lot more articles out there on how to do things. It's hopefully, through a little bit of cross-pollination with the stuff that's out there, you can actually, start to bring the collective consciousness a little bit higher, try and bring the level of technologically acceptable knowledge up a little bit higher. So there's going to be more information out there, but in the primer from last year, I listed some of the articles that I actually talked about. One's greening up your living space, another one's living a worry-free life online. Another one's promoting your podcast or blog and how to start doing it in a very cohesive fashion. Another one's how to unplug yourself and step away. Believe it or not, people need a guide for how to do that. And I listed some of the articles that I absolutely think are unbelievable, and a little bit of caffeinated love at the end of the article. But it's one of the, I feel very passionately about this holiday. Well, I don't know if the name's going to end up sticking. Last year we had, it was pretty good traction last year. So we're hoping to start off running this year. I'm actually starting announcing it a little bit closer to the holiday, because last year I announced it in February and kind of faded out. And it's repetitive to hear somebody talk about it week in and week out for 2 months. So we're kind of going into this and we're trying to do it a little bit differently this year. So if you have a story that you think fits into this, or you'd like to just, write up something, and just please tag it Adopt a Noob Day. You can either link back to my show and I will put a link to your site or something like that. We're willing to work with all different kinds of things that people are trying to do. So I just want to kind of give you that little information. Alright, let's see what we have. Alright, the next little thing that we have up here is Laid Off Camp. Now this is an interesting idea that I hadn't seen yet. It works kind of like the bar camp atmosphere, kind of like the pod camp atmosphere, but Laid Off Camp was held during daylight hours at the Temple Nightclub in downtown San Francisco. It's a networking event for the unemployed and self-employed people to share ideas about finding work during the recession. I thought this was a great idea. They had volunteers, speakers, a whole bunch of different people trying to get into contact with other people who were facing the same problems as them. And in the way the economy is right now, and Chris Penn kind of summed it up, he said, there are over 12 million people out of work right now, just in the United States alone. So if you have an opening at your company, hire wisely, but hire. And we're lucky here right now. Everything's okay for right now. You never want to make certainty an issue, but when you're looking at these things, it's great to see networking events like this, because they really kind of stretch other people's boundaries of who they see. There's no word yet of one of these things setting up in Philadelphia, but I just want to kind of let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, and maybe there's going to be an interesting little piece that's going to spread out across the country. I mean, these kind of networking things deserve a little bit more coverage. So I decided to put up a link here. All right, moving right on into the Geekcraft section here at the Cavination Podcast. I Ain't Afraid to Know Retro t-shirt. Over at ogizmo.com, somebody designed a t-shirt that I'm just passing along. This is a one-off thing. This is Insane. Imagine a confluence of two very different pieces of retro culture, the one being Pac-Man, the other one being the Ghostbusters series of movies, and then you get this. I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost, the popular theme slash tagline from Ghostbusters, actually has an 8-bit representation of the Ghostbusters car, complete with the dots from Pac-Man along the back end, and the car is going after the two of the ghosts in Pac-Man. So I think it's going after Blinky and, I can't remember what the other one is. But I thought this was an awesome concept. The only thing is it's around $20. I don't have $20 to just throw at a t-shirt, no matter how awesome it is right now. So we're just kind of passing it along because I thought it was really cool. So just wanted to share the love, you know what I mean? All right, up next is Old School Looking Robot. Now, this is, again, another little retro thing, but I thought it was kind of funny and wanted to pass it along. For $15, you two can get your very own little 1 gigabit retro robot. Now, these things are kind of cheesy. They're kind of fun and cool. The eyes light up when there's activity on them, so I thought it was pretty fun. The storage capacity is somewhat a little bit less than awesome when you consider there's 16 gig, there's 32 gig drives out there right now. And the cost of flash memory is really kind of going down all the time. So it's interesting to see the different configurations that they were put in there. All right, up next is the robot stacking toy from over at ThinkGeek.com. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but for the Christmas season, ThinkGeek over on Twitter, which is, twitter.com/ThinkGeek, strangely enough, actually held a contest that I won, which was how to geek up your office for Christmas, geek decorations. And I had a wreath wrapped of Ethernet cords. And I know I mentioned that, but they gave me a $50 gift certificate to ThinkGeek, and that's pretty much like crack. I spent like the next 5 days trying to configure the order to get as much awesome in $50 as possible. And one of the things that I kind of threw in there because I looked at it was these wood stacking robots. Now, this is a variation of a much older toy, but these things are just plain cool. My son keeps pulling them out and yelling robots and playing with them all the time. They are virtually indestructible. They're just pieces. They're blocks of wood cut to a certain configuration, painted to look like robots that allow you to stack them and link them up together. And it's just really cool. So I not only do I have a link to the product in case you want to check them out at. The sad thing is, we threw them in at the end of the Christmas thing, and he liked them more than most of the other stuff we bought him. So, something I got kind of like as an afterthought turned out to be this awesome present that he's still playing with. So, it's really cool. And the funny thing about it was, when we took him to different places and we ended up bringing the robots with us because he liked it during the Christmas season, everybody there, even the adults, were playing with these things. So I know that my brother-in-law Steve ended up playing with them more than pretty much anybody else, and anytime he comes over he ends up pulling them out. So I have a link to a little Flickr photo of that as well, but so hopefully you find that interesting. And then going from the complete retro and the complete unrobot-like wooden blocks, we have now robots to teach our young. Over in Japan, it's pretty much common knowledge that they love robots, and they have a robot called Seiya, which is actually a receptionist. Now, I've had links up to her before, and the scientist or the professor who's responsible for her programming, Dr. Hiroshi Kobayashi, and it's interesting to see what they're starting to do with this program, because it looks really creepy. I mean, Seiya looks really, really creepy. She's capable of, on demand, actually responding with certain emotive facial responses. And her angry face is enough to make you want to not have that in the program at all, ever again. It's just really, really kind of disturbing. But she's moving beyond the reception desk and beyond the secretarial pool, and she's now attempting to become a teacher. Well, Kobayashi is actually putting her into a primary school in Tokyo as, I don't know, I guess as a language tutor or something like that, but it's going to be really interesting to see what they actually do with it. But there's an interesting little video over there, so hopefully you can head on over there and check her, and just to see exactly how crazy it is. All right, up next, a little Lego fun. This is the Ultimate Lego Millennium Falcon Assembly Movie. This actually has Lego minifigs doing a stop-motion assembly of the Millennium Falcon. So it's really, really funny. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along because I thought it was awesome. All right, moving even further along here, we have incredibly expensive Photoshop and Illustrator menu magnets. Yes, you heard me here correctly. This is from over at ogizmo.com. But this is a magnetic board that is set up to look like a Apple desktop version of Illustrator and Photoshop CS3, which I thought was kind of fun. Thought it was kind of cool. It's like, oh, you know, they're going to be like $10 for the magnets. The magnets, if you want them just for one application, are $25. If you want them in a 30-inch whiteboard version that is actually magnetic, it costs $80. That is insane for magnets that don't... They're not like... I wouldn't even consider them teaching tools because they're just representations. They're just copies of menus that are already on the screen. I don't even know how they can sell them because it's an Adobe product. It's Adobe intellectual property there. So I don't really see it as kind of anything interesting. It's not adding anything to the discussion. So if you have $80 or $65 for the 20-inch version, you can head on over there and check that out. The problem with them was, at first glance, they seem really cool. At second glance, they seem incredibly stupid. And for $80, it's incredibly stupid and expensive, which is a bad combination in this economy. So the next little thing we have up is free and awesome, which is a fantastic combination in this economy. This is the periodic table of shortcuts for CS3. I found this originally over at a post at colorlovers.com. I love that site. It is a great site. I actually mentioned it in the blog design guide where... it's a place that I can go for inspiration. They show you pictures and they pull color palettes out of the pictures. It's just a collection of colors and named profiles and color sets. And they also have a lot of linkage to interesting little things out there. Well, this is from over at Designs by Vent. And it is a interesting periodic table of elements reimagining as shortcuts for Photoshop CS, InDesign CS, and Illustrator CS. They are downloadable. They're PDF versions, and I think they're... Let me see. No, they're not. They're PNGs, so they're actually scalable. They're already vector images. It's unbelievable the level of detail that you can actually see in these. And I just wanted to pass them along because I thought that this was great. First of all, because not only did it not use Adobe intellectual property to actually add to the discussion, but it actually ended up creating a completely new paradigm to consider some of the ways that the commands and things are actually organized. So I take my hat off to Vent. This is unbelievable work, and these things are going into circulation on my office wall. I mean, they're going right above the monitor so that I can actually see it. All right, moving right along yet again, the last little link that we have for you here in the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast. Then we will head on into diving into the consumable and caffeinated bits here. The last little thing here is from over at SpriteStitch.com. I love this site. I mean, before I tell you anything else, like, geeky crafts are like crack to me. So I'm trying not just to link to everything that they do. I mean, there's a couple sites that are like that. There's SpriteStitch.com. RandomGoodStuff.com, and there's a couple other ones that I can't remember off the top of my head that I have trouble, or Ogizmo is one of them, where I have trouble just not linking to every story that they have. So we're just going to have to start putting like news feeds up and saying, you know what, just go here for concentrated awesome, and you can come back and we'll pull out and give our idea about what we think of it. But this is a great little project. These are Mario-themed Russian nesting dolls. So... You know, you can take them what they want. Mario's the biggest, Luigi, then Peach, then it goes to Toad, Bowser, and I can't even see what the smaller ones are. But it's really, really funny and really kind of awesome all rolled into one. I would kind of like to see it maybe in the same scale that you see in, like, Mario Kart. So Bowser and Donkey Kong... Actually, Donkey Kong's the third from the bottom. Or is that a Goomba? I can't even tell. But, I'd like to see it kind of the scale for that. But, my hat's off to whoever ended up doing this. This is just great, and I wanted to pass it along. All right, that about wraps up the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are going to be diving right on into the consumable and caffeinated bits right now. However, I would like to remind you, in case you are listening at some sort of streaming service somewhere wide on the interwebs, that you are currently listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly located over at www.caffeination.com, where we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here, there, and pretty much all the other places listed over at techpodcasts.com. They've all agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, so you can head on over there and check that out. I can't remember if I did that up at the front of the show or not. I kind of try and space things out differently as I talk about stuff. So, anyway, on to the cool stuff. The first little link that we have up for you is over at needcoffee.com. Pepsi Throwback is actually a step forward. That's the title of the article. There's a lot of information coming out about, you know, the high fructose corn syrup and how horrible it is for you and how it makes things taste differently. So it's much more, it's a pretty big fad right now. There may be some truth to it or not. But if you've ever had Coca-Cola or Pepsi from a different country other than the United States, it tastes different. Candy from other countries tastes different now. It tastes crisper somehow. It tastes sweeter and better. And it's because that they use actual real cane sugar in some other countries. You know, I know Mexican Coke and there's a couple other places. I know we had one guy who his family's from Israel, and he went over and got a bunch of candy from Israel and brought back, like, it was just like something like simple, like a Bubble Yum, and it tasted so much better. It tasted so much better than the gum that you would get here that it was unbelievable. And it was all because they're using pure cane sugar. High fructose corn syrup. Corn syrup is much cheaper. So that's probably why they do it, but it's interesting to see people hopping onto this bandwagon. So Pepsi has a Throwback, which is just Pepsi, same recipe and everything, and Mountain Dew Throwback, which just uses cane sugar as opposed to high fructose corn syrup. They're doing different trials in, let me see, where is it going to be? It's going to be released in Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Las Vegas, and New York. You know what? You're missing one very large city on this. You need to have Philadelphia there, because I would love to do this. I don't even drink soda with any sort of regularity, and I would get a case of this just because I love the idea. The other one that they have up there is a really interesting concept called Pepsi Natural. Pepsi Natural is actually just water, sugar, caramel extract, and apple extract, and cola nut extract. So I have no clue what that would taste like, but that's it. It's very little, if any, kind of extra stuff. So I'm be very curious to see how that one actually tastes, and that one's debuting in the same cities. So it's going to be interesting. Hey, if you are in one of the cities where you see it, or if you see Pepsi Natural or Pepsi Throwback, just give it a taste. Tell me what you think. Write a review. Put it on the site. I'll give you a link back to wherever you want, but still, it's kind of interesting to see where that's going. Another little article that I found over at randomgoodstuff.com. Again, awesome stuff over there. Every day, all the time. But this one is a interesting little desktop distillery, which they were unsure over at Random Good Stuff. They were unsure if this was actually a working distillery. It's modeled after one. It's kind of meant to pay a little homage to a distillery of old, I guess. It's originally from over at like Hammer and Schlemmer or something like that. I can't remember. But it's $200, so it's crazy. For $200, it better not only make the booze, it better come with some booze. So I just wanted to kind of throw it out there because it is incredibly detailed and incredibly tiny and incredibly well-made, it looks. But for $200, like I'm saying, it better be full of booze when I get it, and there better be instructions for how to make more. But all right, up next we have an interesting little story about the anti-energy drink. And believe it or not, this is actually over at About.com. I really don't like linking to About.com. The site design is absolutely horrid. There's ads absolutely everywhere, so you're not sure if what you're reading is content or ad, which irritates me to no end. End of rant. But they have a really interesting article about a anti-energy drink called Drank. Try and say that six times fast. But the drink is called Drank. So the idea behind this is that it contains things that calm you. It has valerian root, melatonin, and vitamin B6, which I always thought vitamin B6 was a way to kind of give you a little extra, you know, flush of blood and actually make you a little bit more active. But the idea behind this is that it's supposed to calm you down, or slow your roll is the way that it's actually put there on the site. So I like the idea behind it. I don't know if it has any sugar in it. I would kind of hope that it's not going to have, you know, a ton of sugar in it or something like that. I'm not a real big energy drink guy. In fact, I pretty much hate most energy drinks just because they taste like over syrupy and overcompensated for the amount of caffeine that they try and cram into a can. I used to drink Jolt Cola, not so much anymore. I don't even drink Coke or Pepsi or anything like that, but it's just one of those things where I really think that this is an interesting idea. It's just not something I probably find regular circulation in my house. But so my little take on energy drinks has always been that they're just way too over-sugared. So it's you always get that crash at the end. So even if I don't like them. I like the more natural version of coffee and tea and stuff like that. And if I want an anti-energy drink, I'm going to have herbal tea. You know, I like the peppermint and the chamomile tea. I love chamomile tea. So if you know, a little bit of lemon and some chamomile tea, that's all the anti-energy drink that I would need. But for the energy drink crowd, if this is something you need, you know, you have to manage your uppers and your downers. You know, you got to have the thing to shoot you up and the thing to calm you back down. So if that's your game, then you can try the drink. So all right, that about wraps it up here for today's episode of the Caffeination Podcast. I told you it was going to be short. Hopefully it was big on awesome. But this has been Caffeination number 316. Huge number. Every once in a while you just look at it and you go, man, I can't believe I've been talking for this long. Someday I'm actually going to try and total up all the minutes that I've actually spent recorded on the Caffeination, see if it actually, how much it adds up to. But all right, this has been the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. If you are looking for a way to subscribe to today's show, or there's a whole bunch of links over there. There's also a support and listings things over there, so you can check out the different articles. Rather, the different pages on the Caffeination homepage to check all that out. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Head on over to techpodcast.com to check out the rest of the fun and family-friendly shows. We are also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a kind of an interconnected little social networking site for podcasts, so you can see which ones I listen to, which ones other people listen to, and it's an easy way to navigate through like-minded and interesting shows. And then last but most certainly not least, we are working on the website for Puzzle Piece Productions, but that does not change the fact this Caffeination Podcast is a proud Puzzle Piece production. So to find out more eventually what that means, you can head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. I'd like to thank so much for everybody out there who spends time listening to this show. I understand that everybody's busy, I understand everybody has things to do, but the fact that you spend a little bit of your time with me every week really kind of makes me feel good. Hopefully I'm making it worth your while, so I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people. We'll